Hello, and welcome to Haz Matters, the Dangerously Good Hazmat Podcast, where dangerous goods experts share their insights on what's most important right now in the hazmat supply chain. I'm Jeff Siegel, a primary writer for the Label Master blog. I'm not a DG Pro myself. That's why I always make sure to have an expert on the show. Today's topic is the danger of counterfeit lithium batteries and the global response we need to deal with that danger. And with me today from Storrington, England, is Label Master consulting partner, Jeff Leach. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks very much for the invitation to talk this afternoon.
Jeff currently heads up the Dangerous Goods Office Limited. He served more than 30 years at the United Kingdom Civil Aviation Authority and also served as a UK member of the ICAO Dangerous Goods Panel, where he was elected chairman in 2007. Jeff, you wrote an impassioned post on the Label Master blog about this subject a few weeks ago. What got you so fired up?
It was while I was at home, Jeff, with a lot of time on my hands, as most people have these days, where I was watching an air crash investigator program about an accident which was caused by counterfeit or bogus parts. Back in 1989, there was an airplane that was flying in the cruise with 55 people on board, developed a severe vibration. The fin separated from the aircraft, which disintegrated, and sadly all 55 people were killed. Now, the investigation into the accident revealed that there were counterfeit bolts holding the fin on, which had failed, which caused the crash. But what got me really interested was what action was taken as a result of the investigation, where the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, were able to trace the manufacturer of these parts, the suppliers of these parts, and take appropriate enforcement action, which is what you'd obviously expect. But that got me thinking about the accident in 2010 to the UPS 6 Boeing 747, which departed from Dubai en route to Cologne, attempted to return with a very severe in-flight fire, and sadly control was lost on final approach and both crew were killed. And that investigation to that accident, it was revealed that a number of substandard lithium batteries were being carried. Nobody knows for sure to what extent they played a role in the accident, that they caused it, they were involved, nobody knows for certain. But the investigation revealed considerable quantities of substandard parts. And it got me thinking, what was the response, what was the enforcement response to that accident? Was it the same as in the partner aircraft, where it was caused by counterfeit substandard parts? What was different about UPS-6, which also possibly involved counterfeit or bogus parts?
Sounds like we're getting some distortion due to Jeff being over in England, but we're going to try to push through. Sorry if there's any interruptions. So if I understand you, parties were held responsible for the partner crash, but not, as far as you know, for the UPS crash in 2010.
Yeah, that's correct. So there was action taken against the suppliers of these bogus parts in the partner crash in 1989. But as far as I'm aware, and I'm open to correction, as far as I'm aware, no enforcement action was ever taken against the shippers of the substandard batteries that were carried on board the UPS-6 aircraft.
Well, I have to ask then, why not?
Well, that's a good question. You've got to understand that aircraft parts are, if you like, within a very closed aviation system. Anyone working on an aircraft supplying parts are all subject to very strict airworthiness requirements. So these people are known. The people that manufacture the parts or supply them are known to the airlines and the rest of the aviation industry. The same can't be said for lithium batteries. They're not controlled, if you like. There's no manufacturers or suppliers don't have to have an approval or license to ship these kind of items. And so they're very, if you like, invisible. And so any accident like the UPS-6 one would present severe problems in terms of identifying those under the current regime.
Okay, so those incidents were several years ago. Are substandard, counterfeit, bogus lithium batteries still a problem?
We still see them. I mean, only the other day I was working with a very large online seller of items, and there was somebody who was attempting to sell batteries, if you like, and they openly said that the watt-hour rating of the batteries was whatever it was, 150 watt hours or whatever, but they said openly that they would replace that with a sticker that says 99 watt hours so that they could be shipped without certain things being required on the package. So people are out there, they're prepared to do that. I saw somebody the other day who put wheels on a battery and called it a car, and so called it lithium batteries in equipment to get around the prohibition on batteries on their own.
That's crazy that people will still completely disregard what the rules are for, to promote and enhance safety for flight crews, for passengers, for people on the ground, and resort to trickery like that just to get around a regulation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen others where people have, because they want a battery, or they want to send a battery, because you can't send a battery on its own on a passenger aircraft, so they put in a device with a little label saying dispose of the device when the battery arrives, just to get the battery there. So there are people that get very, very creative.
Creative. That's a nice way to say it.
yeah, it's probably a bit too nice, but yeah.
Yeah. I might even say criminal, but...
Absolutely criminal.
I'm not a lawyer, but yeah. So you see these things happening. Aviation authorities still can't look into the authenticity of these items?
It gets very difficult. If I go back to the previous point we were talking about the why action isn't taken, it can be very difficult for aviation regulators to investigate for a number of reasons. First of all, if we take an example of where, let's say that the substandard batteries are manufactured in state A, country A, they're trucked to country B, where they're put on an airplane and a fire occurs. Now, the offence has occurred, it's the legislation probably, in country B, but the person who's actually caused that to happen is in the originating state, country A. It's then very difficult for country B, where the fire started, to prosecute somebody who is not in their state. And in some instances, back when I was back working for the CAA, the only option might have been extradition. And that's a big, big step. And that doesn't normally happen for things other than very, very serious offences, murders and things like that. So that's one of the problems. It's when you get sort of trans-border, trans-boundary jurisdictional issues, that can be a big problem. But even more basic things, when I was at the CAA, I had a warrant card and I had the power to go anywhere, the wording said, where an aircraft had landed. So I could board an aircraft on the ground, I could go into a freight shed, I could go to an airport. It certainly didn't entitle me to go and knock on the door of a battery manufacturer and say, I want to see your testing processes or your record keeping, whatever like that. So from an aviation regulator or any transport regulator, that's quite difficult. And if you take, for example, let's say I was going to buy some cells this afternoon, some UN tested cells, and I manufacture them into a bigger battery, and I don't realize that I've got to have this battery now tested as well. It's perhaps not an unreasonable misunderstanding. It's not a criminal intent, but I put this battery together and I have no intent at all to put it on an aircraft or a truck or whatever. I make them for my friends for radio-controlled airplanes or whatever, and one of these people puts it in their baggage or attempts to ship it on an airplane and it catches fire because it hasn't been tested. The battery's not been tested. How would the aviation legislation extend back to me? I wasn't intending those batteries to be flown. So if we are relying solely on transport legislation to fix this problem, it's impossible. It's not possible for transport legislation solely to fix the problem of defective, substandard, counterfeit, call it what you will, lithium batteries.
Well, if legislation can't help and if regulators can't keep counterfeit or substandard lithium batteries off planes, what needs to happen?
Well, it needs to be a joint effort. And what's needed, I would suggest, is the ability for agencies other than transport regulators to enforce regulations which require batteries to be manufactured and tested to a particular standard. Now, in my blog, I said about manufacturing standards or safety standards. That's not necessarily the case. And I've understood since my blog that there are standards out there which could be applied, but are they being enforced adequately? If you take, for example, let's say that another example, let's say that a number of substandard batteries are discovered at a market somewhere. Well, who is actually going to take action against that manufacturer? Do we have to wait until there's an incident on an aircraft when the aircraft regulators get involved? There needs to be, now in the UK, it's called trading standards. I'm sure you've got something similar in the States and around the world, where another agency is able to enforce requirements or legislation requiring these batteries to be manufactured to particular requirements. Now, I know that there was a, last year there was, and I'm sure perhaps some of the people listening to this may have even attended it, there was a workshop, an excellent workshop put on by the UKCAA last year in London, where one of the takeaway points of this was the intent for aviation regulators, customs, trading standards, and everybody else to work more closely together to be able to get to those people who are producing the batteries that we want to prevent from getting on aircraft. One of the other things perhaps which needs to be thought about is perhaps some thought needs to be given to the people who actually import the batteries. Now, in the UK, there are requirements for people importing explosives. Perhaps there should be more onus placed on people who are importing batteries for onward sales, so that there is an onus on them to satisfy themselves that the batteries they are bringing into the country and which they will subsequently sell, they take the necessary actions to ensure that they have been manufactured properly.
The test standard requirements that went into effect in January of this year, 2020, would those help?
They certainly help, but again, it's the actual enforcement of those requirements. There needs to be more agencies involved that can actually take that action, I would suggest. It's a great step forward, but as I say, but there needs to be a collaborative approach between not just aviation regulators, but other agencies who are involved in the product safety, product standard, or whatever in various states with robust enforcement.
Okay, then, I'm going to put you on the spot. What would be an appropriate enforcement measure for a manufacturer that knowingly puts substandard lithium batteries into the supply chain?
Well, I'm obviously biased, but this is one of the issues when we were back, I say back in the day, it's different in your side of the pond, where I think the regulators get an input into the level of fine. We never had that ability. We would put cases before a court and it would be the judge to decide an appropriate fine. But I think a lot would be dependent on the size of the manufacturer and also the intent. As I said, if you're at the one end of the scale, if you've got somebody who is perhaps making a bigger battery through ignorance, things go wrong, a mom and pop organization, that's very different from, and you know, we know in some parts of the world where factories produce fake and counterfeit items, including batteries. That's a different end of the scale, and that would need, I would suggest, a far more punitive response. So it's very difficult. I think it's you know, with each case, you'd have to treat each case on its merit. Was there an intent to get these into the transport stream, and to what sort of volumes? I think that's obviously an important point to consider.
I see. So if the intent was clearly to be deceptive and criminal, as we referred to it earlier, but the effort, the product was caught, was intercepted before it caused an incident, would those people be looking at serious fines? Would they be shut down? Would they be criminally charged?
I believe they should do. I mean, to me, the only difference is that you haven't got a smoking hole in the ground. I mean, we obviously want to stop these batteries getting anywhere near an aircraft. And the only difference is that, you know, there's been no accident. The intent has been exactly the same there, but for the grace of God, the accident hasn't happened. So I believe that then, yes, if there is intent to put substandard or counterfeit batteries into the transport chain, then the full weight of the law should apply to them. In the UK, we had some years ago, we had a very serious offence where some chemicals were carried on an aircraft, and the actual offence, although there were some dangerous goods offences, there was an overarching offence of recklessly endangering an aircraft, what that means, if you do something recklessly, you know what the likely outcome is, but you still go ahead anyway. And the scenario you've just painted is that, you know, a manufacturer thinks, well, you know what, these batteries could catch fire, but I'm still going to put them in the transport chain. Those kind of people need to be really, as I say, really prosecuted to the full extent of the law, I would suggest.
I'd be right behind you on that. Let me change the subject a little bit. These are unusual times. What kinds of questions are you hearing these days from shippers?
Well, as you'd imagine, it's quite quiet. There's only a few sort of niche markets at the moment who are asking some questions. But if you like, certainly on the battery front, I mean, that is, batteries are being moved around now, of course, because they are component parts of perhaps things like ventilators and other things. And I think one of the common issues is people want to do the right thing. The people that we deal with are want to do the right thing. So how do they obtain this information? You know, we say to them that you shouldn't be shipping batteries until you've satisfied yourself that they are manufactured according to a quality management program and tested according to the UN 38.3. So how do they get this information? And it's not easy. We know that. Say we had a client recently who asked the question of one of their suppliers, and their supplier didn't know what they were talking about. In fact, they went even a step further and they said, no, they're not tested. I had no reason to suspect that what they were being provided was anything other than a quality product. And they asked the question that we suggested they should be asking. It came back that no, they weren't tested. And of course, if that's happened with us, that can happen elsewhere. So it is important that shippers get this information, but I do accept it's not easy. And I know that a number of the larger companies are making the information available online. Certainly not test reports and that kind of thing, but at least confirmation that the batteries have met the requirements. And what a lot of people think forget is when they sign their shipper's declaration, they are confirming that everything is compliant. And in that, they are confirming that the batteries have met 38.3, been manufactured under quality management program. So unless you have satisfied yourself that that is the case, you shouldn't be signing that form.
Just glad people are getting the best advice they can before they ship dangerous goods. Well, thank you so much, Jeff Leach, for being with us today on HazMatters, the Dangerously Good Hazmat Podcast. For details from today's conversation, please visit labelmaster.com/podcasts. And remember, you can get many of your DG shipping questions answered free at the Labelmaster Regulatory Hotline, 1-800-621-5808, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday.